Yeah, it's delicious. Nutritious. It's Data Transfer, Season 2, Episode 36. I'm Audrey.
I'm Corla.
What's happening? Been a little bit.
It's been a little bit, but
Explain yourself. Why?
Well, so the funny thing is we're playing Elden Ring.
Yeah.
But we're not playing the same Elden Ring.
No. It's a new Elden Ring.
I took a look at the DLC and all of the wonders that it had to offer, and I turned 180 degrees and showed it my fucking hefty ass.
Your prodigious tushy.
And went, what if we just do like a seamless thing instead?
Okay. And I was like, okay.
This was precipitated by... Is that the word I'm looking for? Whatever.
Yeah.
This was the result of a friend of ours trying to set up an Elden Ring seamless co-op randomizer with like 7-8 people total. So
which it's is been nutty.
It's been a hell trying to schedule even one session of that shit. However, we did get our own little splinter thing going off, and we're having a fun little time with it. We're doing different builds.
Yeah.
Still playing my fucking little automation games right now. It's Minecraft Moni Factory. For anyone that means anything to
Moni Factory,
loving my little factory. Audrey's seen my factory. There's even cool stuff going on in it. Like there's genuinely very pretty shit.
Yeah, you've got some cool design in progress. It's great.
Yeah, it's my fucking podcast. I can put screenshots in the description.
It's my podcast. I can screenshot if I want to.
So check that out. Audrey, how are you?
I am not bad. Considering that you spent a long time talking about video games you've been playing. And
you said, what have you been up to?
Well, yeah, I'm saying that I want to talk about the video games I've been playing.
I want to talk about games. Pantera 666.
I love Pantera 666. He was in Club Cheval when that was a going concern. I've been playing this little indie game called 20 Minutes to Midnight. And it's like, so Vampire Survivors was like, hey, you can cruise around and we'll just shoot the abilities off for you. How's that sound?
Yep. Sounds great to me. Perfect.
And then this one was like, nah, twin stick shooter, but Vampire Survivors.
It's hybrid. It's hybrid-y.
It's a little bit of both, because you can set it to auto-aim, and you'll just shoot at the thing that's closest to you.
But notably, shooting slows you down.
Yes. Reloading slows you down.
Reloading slows you down. Shooting slows you down. So, it's a twin-stick shooter with some bullet heaven hybrid elements woven in there. Yeah. It has a grayscale with red kind of thing going on.
Yeah, you know,
the classic
it's really pretty.
Bulletstorm look. Not it's Bulletstorm, really pretty. Fucking Mad World.
Yeah, it's a little Mad World-y.
You die, I get paid. Anyway, I've been very video game music-y today. It's all in here.
It's a good place to be.
I mean, the opening is fucking Undertale, so.
Yeah.
It's
yeah. The other thing I've been doing is I've been streaming DJ sets.
Yeah. I've even been there for several.
Over at twitch.tv/DJ0PIX. That's DJ Holpix.
Welcome to the stage, the Oneaters.
What?
It's the Wonders. Oh, have you not seen that thing you do?
No.
The Tom Hanks directorial debut, I think.
Didn't he direct Big? That'd be funny if he directed Big.
I think he considers it his fucking opus magnum. Magnum opus.
The other one.
The pee-pee.
His Mr. Holland's opus.
His piss pee-pee.
First movie Tom Hanks directed. That thing you do, yes.
Fuck yeah.
He also wrote the screenplay and created the production company Playtone to produce it.
Yeah.
He also played plays a supporting the villain role as music film, manager Amos White.
Yeah.
Amos White. How old is Tom Hanks? 69.
Nice. What if you'd asked that 2 years ago? You wouldn't, 67 wouldn't have been a thing 2 years ago.
That's right. So he was born at the wrong time. We have to go back in time and fix it. Make sure Tom Hanks is born 2 years later.
You had to edge his dad for 2 whole years.
You had to go edging back in Tom Hanks' dad for 2 fucking years.
You had to go back in time, get Tom Hanks' dad into a chastity cage, keep that shit locked for 2 years, and then let him go wild on.
You edge Tom Hanks' dad. Tom Hanks' mom. What do you get?
2 years younger and deeper in debt.
We're fucking stupid.
We're extremely stupid, and that's why I love you.
I love you.
We have such a great little dumb energy. We're two little bimbos.
That's right. We're like improv bimbos. The worst kind of bimbo.
Yeah. Yes. Yes, and daddy.
Yes, and my dick and balls.
You haven't asked a question that's important.
Which one?
How am I?
How are you? What's going on? I asked what's going on.
You asked what's going on. You didn't ask me how I was.
Well, how are you then?
It's a different thing.
I think they're kind of under the same umbrella of general question about your well-being.
Okay. Okay. What you're up to is not necessarily your well-being. I could be up to some cool shit and not be okay.
That is true.
Like, you work as a nuclear physicist and also be going through a divorce. You know what I mean? Like, oh, my work is so fulfilling and fucking cool. She took the kids, man.
What percentage of nuclear physicists do you think are divorced?
I don't know. Most of them are furries, though.
These days, yeah.
Well, okay. How? I guess it's probably similar to that, like the general distribution of populace who have been married and then
close
divorced.
Close to 60%.
So just about 60%, right? Yeah.
That's crazy. Not nuts. We have this whole societal construct that's like, okay, pick one, and that's forever.
And
60% of those, they're like, ah, fuck it.
Well,
this person
because
sucks.
It doesn't work, and it's never worked that way.
Yeah.
And we've just kind of like made allowances for the fact that it doesn't work.
As opposed to overhauling the system and deleting the family.
Right. You know. It's been too useful to the powers that be at any given time to like just let it go in its entirety.
As a way of organizing society.
So, yeah, we
get in there.
We've kept it around.
Get in there.
As a, you know, marriage is vestigial. Fuck who you're going to fuck. Love who you're going to love.
Yeah. Do it hard.
Get in the cuck chair, turn it into a command zone.
Did you see the cuck command center?
Yeah, command center, so good.
It's very strong. look at search cuck command center.
Do
You'll
it.
Find it. It's there.
Do it.
Do it. Another thing that we should do is talk about digital monsters, Digimon.
I would love to.
Let's talk about Digimon. This episode is entitled Stone Soup. In the English version, or the Japanese that we watch, Steel Angel Shakumon.
Stone Soup was one of my first, like, traditional roguelikes.
I don't know that one. How'd it go?
Dungeon Crawl Stone Soup? It's a very... To my recollection, it's a very stripped down thing. It is primarily about the combat. You can't do a whole bunch of fancy extra nonsense, at least to my recollection. Because I was bad at it is the other thing you need to understand is I was a dumb child who was terrible at this free to play video game that I nonetheless loved to death, even if I could never get further than like 5 or 6 floors deep.
Wow.
First roguelike I got to, or at least one of the first. I may have played something as a little kid and not remembered.
Yeah. God, what would be my first roguelike? It's hard to say. I guess I could look at my Steam and be like, what's the earliest one that I purchased?
I mean, if we're extending past what I would call like traditional roguelikes, where the presentation is extremely similar to the original rogue, whether that's ASCII or tile sets.
Yeah, add-on.
But still like grid-based, turn-based, permadeath, you know, procedural generation, you know what I mean? Binding of Isaac is a roguelike, but not what I would call a traditional roguelike.
It's a
because it's roguelite. A roguelike Zelda hybrid. Oh, it's not roguelite. Even a roguelite. It's just not traditional.
No, these are things that only fucking there's mean permanent progression. There's things you unlock. It's a roguelite.
I suppose, in but they're not like light, permanent you upgrades drop, to yourself.
You lose everything.
They're options and paths that you unlock.
Right, but you make
which are a thing the game in traditional roguelikes.
Are they really? I did not know that.
Yeah, there. For instance, in add-on, there's at least one area that you can't access on any given run until you have died 100 times across all of your runs, and that's specifically because new players would keep rushing there and fucking dying. And not understand what they were doing wrong.
That's funny.
So they're just like, not allowed.
You have
only
to die
get to go here
times
if you
first.
Know what you're doing.
You have to die 100 times. And by the time you die 100 times, theoretically, you know what the fuck you're doing.
Yeah. Apparently the developer is doing a fucking Shungoku Satsu. They're going to make you die 1,000 deaths.
Okay. Shungoku Satsu, okay, butthole. House of Decline.
I got nothing on that. And frankly, I'm upset.
I said
thought
okay.
We were the yes and bimbos.
I said okay. That's like a yes.
Where's my bimbo giggle? Thank you.
No problem.
That's all I wanted.
So the episode opens and we're like in like an industrial zone. Corla, at the time you said it looked like an EDF map, which
yeah,
is correct.
Yeah, you know the exact like one.
Industrial
EDF 5.
The industrial zone.
And EDF 6 5. Has that, like, industrial pipe-ridden fucking map.
Yeah. And it's they're, like, on a forlorn bay.
Yeah.
And then a wall explodes and there's Black War Greymon.
Because they're coming in off the coast.
He's just like, he just blows up out of things. It's like a thing that he does.
It's great.
And then he black tornadoes a bunch of industrial equipment and it explodes.
It explodes. It's great.
And you're thinking, wow, the fucking last Holy Stone is going to be like right here. It's in the industrial zone, right? Fucking not. We go back to the real world. Kids are waiting on Iori. And Iori is running late because he had to clean the classroom. And fucking Daisuke gives him shit about it. He's like, what's more important, saving the last Holy Stone or cleaning the classroom? Huh? Answer for your crimes.
Dog, not getting in trouble means you can consistently keep making it to these missions.
Right. If he didn't do it, he would have gotten fucking detention, and then he'd be even later.
Yeah, he wouldn't be here at all. Like,
at all.
Izzy. They mentioned Izzy called in, like, couldn't make it.
Yeah.
At the start of the whole thing. So, like, at least Iori got there. You
That's
know
right.
what I mean?
That's right.
Completely undeserved, and Daisuke is once again being a little shit.
Yeah. So we cut back to the digital world as they're like entering, and then at some point it switches over to Arukenimon and Mummymon cruising around in the Jeep, and they smell something delicious.
Yum yum yum.
They're like, what is that delicious smell? And they get out and they're in, you said it, what did you say? It was some kind of a shopping mall at first.
Well, I just said it was a shop.
Yeah, like a shopping area. And Mummymon correctly pronounces it the digital world's Chinatown.
The Chinatown of the digital world. They say this
Arukenimon hits him in the head for it.
Multiple people say it exactly like that throughout this episode. It's wild.
It's fucking weird. It's an
odd
choice.
The Chinatown of the digital world.
Is De Niro in this one? Ba-dum tish.
Ba-dum tish.
Isn't that a not Tarantino? Scorsese movie, Chinatown.
Big Trouble in Little China?
Town?
We're just doing a fucking Smiling Friends bit. It's just like, oh no, you go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. No, man. No, you go ahead.
No, it's you go ahead.
No, really, it's fine. I'm listening.
I didn't really have anything. And so they're like, what the fuck? That smells so good. And they drive the car through the digital Chinatown until they find the restaurant staffed by Digitamamon, our egg friend, and a new guy.
Bakemon.
No,
Bakumon. Oh,
Bakemon.
Sorry, Bakemon is the ghost. Bakemon, lose your power.
Yeah. This is Bakuman.
I'm glad we got, if nothing else, I'm glad we got the dub for that bit.
Also known as Tapirmon.
Tapirmon. I've seen
it called Tapirmon.
Which is are they in the Philippines? Is that where Tapirs are? Or is that the Indonesian
thought they were like Indonesia, like South America too. I thought.
Here, let me.
Let's find the range out of the tapir. I know they're Southern Hemisphere.
Large herbivorous mammals belonging to the family Tapir. Inhabit jungle and forest regions of South and Central America and Southeast Asia.
There we go.
So, yeah.
We know from Tapir.
Indonesia, Malaysia, Myanmar, and Thailand. But I guess not the Philippines then?
No Philippines.
Okay.
Damn. What are they going to do about all the ants?
What are you going to do about all the ants?
They got no tapirs to eat the ants.
What? Okay, all right. No, fuck it. We're going deep
ant
in this.
Ant control in the Philippines.
Ant control contortle in the Philippines. Yay. Lilith's not here. Yay. We can't ask her. No, I don't. I'm not trying to rent a fucking... It's not how to. I want to know what systems are in place.
I'm going to guess like raid and fucking traps and the other shit
that
I'm
sure
you have everywhere.
Yeah, I'm sure it's extremely like personalized. Boring. Like in the US.
Yeah.
Just like buy some idiot.
Yeah. Get an exterminator to put the gel around the base of your house. This is fascinating. So they go in there and they're like, fucking soup me, bitch. And Tapirmon is like, hell yeah. Spicy ramen? And they're like, yeah, sure. Pork ramen? Tonkatsu ramen? Yakitori ramen? He's just naming like types of ramen. And they're like, yeah, we'll have that. And then help me out here because kids are like, hot on the trail, I think. They end up in the digital world too, and they end up at the restaurant as well.
They're, but in the they haven't found them yet when the kids like stumble on Chinatown themselves. They're just like, hey, we're all starving, and Digivolution works on food, so maybe we should eat.
We should eat some delicious Chinese food, they say.
Yeah, they're very excited about it. Niori's like, how can they be so unserious when the world is at stake? There's just so much steak, Liara.
And now we can begin on the synopsis, because this is where the synopsis starts. It says this section of the article is a stub. You can help by expanding it.
Yay!
Eating soup in a restaurant, the kids run into Arukenimon and Mummymon, who happen to be eating at the same place.
It really is just like, how the fuck is my ex here? Come on, it's a big city.
It's unbelievable. And fucking Mummymon and Arukenimon are like, what's the recipe for the soup? He's just like,
oh my god.
Shrimp ramen.
He's like, what kind of ramen you want? I can get you ramen. They're like, no, what's
ramen.
It made of?
What's it made of? And
he's like,
like,
I can get a spice.
Bean paste ramen. He's just naming foods. I think it's so mad.
You don't know. Like, he was taught how to say different kinds of ramen, and that's all he's got.
That's all he's got. Arukenimon demands to speak to the manager, and Tapirmon knows this. Tapirmon is familiar with that phrase. So it brings out Digitamamon, and they're like, hey, what's in the soup? He's like, can't tell you that.
Tell you. That's a trade secret.
What are you talking about? I'm supposed to tell you what's in the soup. Crazy. Get out of your mind. And then, because the kids show up, and then Digitamamon and Bakuman leave. Right.
Yes, they leave as everyone's getting digivolved up, ready to like stanced up, ready to fight. It's in the middle of the digivolution sequences.
In the row of things.
Yeah. And also, Digitamamon helpfully informs us, "Nah, not the same dude. That's my cousin. He did tell me about you guys. Go. We're cool. We're cool. We're good.
Yeah, you're good. We love you. You're a cool guy.
Extremely funny to me. Like, not the same guy, but we're still good. We're still cool.
We do know each other, but we're not the same guy.
Oh, it's my cousin.
And so they stance up, they digivolve into their champion forms, except for Gatomon, who is still a champion all the time.
Going for the armor because that's how she DNA.
Well, no, she's explicitly de-digivolved from the armor to then DNA. Mm.
No, you're right. What the fuck was that about then? Stop it. I don't know.
They needed the shot of, and I was wondering, it's like, because it's like a crowded restaurant. I don't know if you've been in a restaurant before. There's not a lot of room to fight in it unless you're like falling all over tables and shit.
It's a digital world restaurant. It's bigger than it needs to be.
I guess. It's
like back rooms logic where it just like one of the dimensions is absurd for no reason.
I love that backroom shit. That shit's so cool.
The question is, how the fuck you get a Digivolt, like a champion Digivolution, through the doors afterwards?
Well, they Digivolved inside the restaurant. But
yeah,
I was wondering about the size. And they solved this by just creating like a splashy background that they fight on.
That's right. They just void the background. They don't bother. Like,
nah, don't worry about it.
This is classic animation.
They fight and it's fine. The sizes don't matter. That they're indoors in a Chinese restaurant, that's okay.
This and part of the fight don't matter.
None of this matters. And fucking Daisuke is like, oh shit, we're gonna have to Jogress because we're getting our asses beat. And Vimon goes, Ken's not here, dude. Ken and Wormmon are like not here.
I have that.
And I note. Laughed.
I have that note. DNA Digivolve ain't here, dog. Oh fuck, I forgot.
Oh fuck, I forgot.
I was typing very fast. Don't.
I don't judge it. I love it. And so, and we like, get oh, man, we
the
do
dumbest
it.
Bit of this episode.
Yeah. So Akilamon is like, we should Jogress, and Yole's like, hell yeah. And so Yole and Kari do this cool like stance up thing, and they're like,
we get the whole thing.
They're like, do the whole musical stinger, and they're spiraling up around each other in their like wyvern form with the wings flying out of the back of them. And they go, what? Oh,
they like, just reverse the footage and audio.
They just reverse the footage and the audio.
It's like,
and then they do it again.
They do it twice. It's like, it's genuinely, I thought I was having a stroke. I'm like, did you get a YouTube poop version? Are you fucking with me? Because that's insane that they would make that editing decision if it wasn't meant to be a joke.
Twice. It's crazy. This whole episode is a fucking joke. And so it's at that time that Mommymon and Arakenimon, I think they fuck off right about then. I think they're like, ah, fuck this.
They get their hits in and then they just fucking book it because they care more about getting the recipe.
So they're going to chase down Digitamamon and Bakumon.
Hey, you son of a bitch. Tell me what you put in us.
And then the Digimon leave after losing energy and reverting back to their human forms, it says. The Digimon leave after suddenly losing their energy and reverting back to their human forms? The Digimon have human forms?
Human forms?
What?
Yeah, someone did not type correct. Yeah, no, they turn into little human babies. It becomes a Yoshi's Island kind of deal. I guess that would be Partners in Time. Talking about humans dealing with adult with human babies. Doesn't matter.
Mommymon finds a pond in the forest specifically. Mommymon finds a pond of the same soup. A
steamy golden pee-pee pond.
It's a pee-pee pond full of magic soup.
I see a yellow steaming pond and I'm like, oh no! That's yeah. A fucking... The refuse pipe broke, and that's just
the refuse pipe for this is pee-pee.
That's hot pee-pee right there.
It's full of sulfur or something. You know what I mean? I'm not like don't
you don't think I gotta drink that? I mean, unless you walk up and you smell it, and like that's oh, is that fucking chashu pork? Oh my god!
I think that's chashu pork.
Spring onion. Oh, get that in me.
I think it's all there. So Mommymon starts to try to sip. Digitamamon and Bakumon come out the fucking grass and are like ready to beat his ass.
They stomp his skull. They Goomba stomp this man directly into the dirt.
He's like, ow, my fucking skull.
It makes him bite his tongue too. It's
awful. Ow, I bit my tongue. Fuck. Now how am I supposed to enjoy the soup?
You ever have your own jaw used as a stapler on your tongue?
Sounds bad.
Yeah.
And so, they fight off Bakumon and Digitamon pretty handily, pretty easily. They just fight them away.
Remarkable to me, considering Digitamon is still an ultimate.
He's an ultimate.
He can kick some fucking ass if he wants to. Right. No, he's just like, nah, get out of here.
He'd be like Nightmare Syndrome and then fly out of his eggshell at them. He should do. And so, oh, also a fun fact, and they name check it in the Digimon description part. Tapirmon, who, by the way,
Hypno Taper.
He looks like Hypno, which that apparently is a thing. Tapirs, yeah, and hypnosis.
Hypno the Pokemon is a tapir.
Is a tapir, yeah.
They're like dream eating spirits are meant to look like tapirs.
Tapir Pokemon.
That's where Pokemon. Drowsy comes from. Yeah. And then Hypno.
Isn't that crazy? Why he got such a big nose?
For ants.
Okay. So
he snarfled them. Listeners, I hope that was an enjoyable experience.
I hope you like that. Because Mighty takes a big old sip of the soup. Sticks his tongue in there.
He sticks his tongue in there. He's
gets a good
does
slurp.
Not care about backwash, not even a little bit.
And I so hope he enjoyed it, because rising out of the soup is the holy stone.
Stone soup. You get had to point it? That out. I didn't get it throughout the whole fucking thing. It did not
get
occur
it?
To me.
It's
the holy stone makes ramen. It's holy, so the stuff it touches becomes holy, and I guess holy means tasty.
Yeah.
Yum yum yum.
I always think of holy as tasting slightly astringent, like medicinal.
I did not know divinity came with a little bit of black garlic. I just was not aware of that element of it.
Mummy Man finds a pawn of the same soup he has eaten in the restaurant and ignored the warning not to eat it. The destiny stone hidden under the soup emerged into the air.
He like yoinks the ring off of it while he's hanging off it.
After his protective holy ring fell off, Black War Greymon and the kids arrive at the scene. And we get some really cool shots. They do this cool like slam cut where like Daisuke will be like, "Are you fucking ready, Ichijoji?" And like half the screen is Daisuke in like a stanced up in a heroic pose. And then, shing, the fucking frame slams in of the other side, and it's Ichijoji, and he's like, ready!
Yeah.
It's really cool, and they do it for everybody as the Jogresses go up, because the kids ate food after they left.
We didn't cover this. They just took over the kitchen after everyone left. They're like, let's make ramen! And they did, and
make ramen
great.
In the holy kitchen.
Fucking awesome.
It's great. Apparently they're good cooks because they ate a whole bunch of it and had a good meal. And then they show up and they're like ready to fight. So
we get three Jogress in a row. We finally get our third
Shakomon. Are you ready?
Explain.
Robot cherub.
Robot fascinating. Yeah.
Kind of robot
no, fair
cherub.
Enough.
Yeah.
Kind of yeah. A, I was gonna say kind like of a,
like a Modron kind
if you
of thing.
Three word. I'd be like biblically accurate. What the fuck are those things called? The Matryoshka doll.
Biblically accurate Matryoshka. That's good.
Yeah.
Because Shakumon is here, and they got a cool slam cut. Fucking TK and fucking Iori get
it. Yeah, you get that Sentai slam cut.
You're
it's
like,
good shit. Mm.
Like flexing and shit.
Yeah.
And then the weirdest looking fucking thing of all comes out of the two of them. And they're both like, we did it. I wanted them to look at each other and be like, what?
Be like, the fuck is that?
What happened? Our guys are so cool. It's an angel and a fucking armadillo.
Why is it busted?
Yeah. Why is this dude busted? But anyway, yeah, he shows up and then the episode's over.
I knew this once. What the fuck is... Yeah, Shako or Dogu are small humanoid and animal figurines made during the later part of the Jomon period. They're like
based on a later Jomon design.
Effigies of people manifested some kind of sympathetic magic, I guess, is what Wikipedia is giving me.
Thanks, Wikipedia.
They are considered by many to be representative of goddesses. Many have large abdomens associated with pregnancy, suggesting that Shakuman the Jomon consider them mother goddesses. Okay, so this is a divine figure is what we're getting here. These are like,
Think about it. You take the earth of Ankylomon, you take the holy of Angemon, and you get
earth goddess
yeah. Clay okay, fair enough. Thing. Yeah.
Yeah, clay.
That totally makes sense.
Angel. Okay. Still, I follow.
Looking pretty busted for a Western audience.
It's goofy.
It's a little goofy looking.
And it's huge. And it's the end of the episode.
It's the end of the episode, and we don't know what he's capable of. And I gotta imagine if you're 9 years old and you're watching this for the first time, you don't know what the fuck a Shaku is. You're like, what? Because you've been fantasizing for like episodes after episodes, like, oh shit, they're gonna Jokers, it's gonna be so cool. Then this fucking thing shows up, and you're like, not relevant to my experience.
Really not.
History or culture.
Give me the zone. I need to talk about what I feel about this episode. I feel it strongly.
Fucking rate it on a scale of rookie to mega.
We'll give you the...
What?
There's a... It's a segment. Give us the fucking intro.
No, there's no stinger for it.
There's no stinger for...
No, there's no stinger for rating.
Oh.
There's a stinger
I'm
for...
stoned as shit. Jesus.
There's stingers for all kinds of segments without
hey,
that
what's
one.
What's the show we're doing?
Because we're supposed to roll smoothly into it.
Fuck. Well, too bad. It's too bad. I'm in control and I'm going to fuck it up if I want to.
You're wearing a Pikachu shirt while you're recording a Digimon show. That's fucked up.
I am. It's over my big fucking titties.
It's like the fat Pikachu, too, which is great.
Just the stare. Yeah. Fucking...
Pikachu be like...
This is the first one to really disappoint me in a while.
Yeah.
I didn't get shit out of this episode. We got a new DNA Digivolution. I'm like, wow, he looks like a cup. Man's looks like, I don't know, my fucking, like my elementary school, like, clay turtle figurine that I put, that I got done it, like treated in a blast furnace.
Yeah.
Or kiln, I guess. Not blast.
Maybe a kiln. Not be a blast furnace. Be a kiln.
To carbon.
Just annihilates your fucking turtle.
I made a little turtle. Can you help?
Here you
yeah,
go.
Sure.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Let
yeah,
me shovel it in here. Dumb idiot. You want your turtle back funny. Here? Just sprinkle it over me.
Just over your hair.
That wouldn't be too dissimilar from the rest of my childhood.
Oh.
And it wouldn't be too dissimilar to my response to this episode, which is just like, hey, where's the fun, though? Like, they're doing a lot of comedy stuff, but it doesn't land for me.
Yeah,
it's probably very funny if you're a younger kid and you enjoy the slapstick. But it's for me, I'm just like, hey, why is Mummy Mon like a sexual assault pervert? I don't enjoy this part.
I also think it's probably funnier if you are a Japanese child, like if you have all the cultural references and shit.
I would assume so, especially like probably we complain a lot about the poop. That's probably just like Japanese kids. I hate to use the phrase eat it up in that context, but you get what I mean.
Kids eat up poop all the time.
They love
that
it.
Kind
they
of
just consume the doo-doo.
Oh, man. Terrible.
They come home and they're like, Mom, look what I found. I've been eating this cool stuff. And you're like, honey, that's that owl pellet. That's like barf and hair. And
I'm going to give it an armor because it's not quite a rook, I don't think.
Okay.
Could be a rookie.
It's a rookie to me. I'm genuinely disappointed in this one. The fights were meh and cheap. The fucking... There was no real emotional stakes other than them finally going, hey, I got over it. Yay.
Yeah, and then like the final Holy Stone.
Oh yeah, the final one. And we do it as a joke.
And it's in a soup.
It's a hee hee ha ha soup joke.
It's a hee hee ha ha soup joke, and I don't know. I didn't fucking appreciate it.
I don't know. Why did this one need to be the Chinatown of the digital world?
I mean, I think that's an interesting concept—the interplay between like Japanese media and the concept of a Chinatown.
Yeah, but also, could that not have been fleshed out a little more rather than being a small part of just a running joke episode? I don't know. It didn't land for me. It just didn't hit. It just didn't hit.
Didn't hit.
There were no beams. Single fucking beam. We saw Pael Drummond, didn't get a single shot out of the man.
Yeah, no Desperado Blaster.
No beams. Crazy. So, yeah.
Rookie.
Unfortunate.
Hell yeah. You know, it's not a rookie, though, because they're not allowed in the segment.
It's art, bitch! It's fucking art!
That's right, Northern Leon.
Okay, I got you two different things here. I'm just going to go right ahead and say the theme this time is orgasm denial.
Okay.
I hope I didn't already do this one. If I did, too bad. The people who like it are going to be excited. It's here again.
What do we got?
Here you go, Audrey. Why don't you enjoy this first one with me?
Let's open her up. Oh, my God. Okay. There is a... I think that's Sly Cooper.
No, it's an OC.
I'm pretty sure that's fucking Sly Cooper. He's in a cum-sucking chair with what are described as orgasm-blocking rings.
Yeah.
Around his dog unit.
It looks like a macho brace from Pokemon.
Great. And looking on with concern, dismay, and love, because there's question marks and hearts, as a machine that has like various jerk-off points and vibration panels and protrusions and like a hand, and then another like a almost a tentacle hanging over with a tube on the end of it that says lube that makes you come hard.
Yeah, just dripping over
it while it like edges and tortures, and you know, but it's got orgasm blocking rings.
It's there's the a tension. Unstoppable force in the immovable object,
the unstoppable come versus the uncomable stop,
the uncomable cock ject.
This is nuts.
Man's also fully strapped down into this thing by like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 belts.
Eight belts.
I like this one. I think it's very silly and also kind of hot.
That's crazy.
How many different things are like poised to just destroy this man? Like they're not doing it yet, but they are ready.
And I love the one hand's given like the okay sign, like you good?
It's so fucking funny. So yeah. Yeah, I thought you might enjoy that.
The art style's kind of cute. You can go for that. His little dog penis.
Okay, so I guess I'm describing this one.
Yeah, what's up?
Let's get it to you. This one's a little bit more low tech, but not no tech. We have what the tags describe as a jackal woman. Okay. With her wrists tied behind her back, back on the floor, pushed up onto her shoulders and the balls of her feet, to try in vain to reach a vibrator being dangled from a rope by a rope from the ceiling, which had judging by the juices and her extremely red crotch area has been just recently buzzing the shit out of her and was yoinked away at the last moment as she says, "No, no, put it back. I was so close. Please just let me come already."
Poor girl. She's like to push herself up.
Crying. There's a little bit of spit coming out the side of her mouth. Red in the face, red in the puss.
Red in the puss.
She wants to come, but she can't come. It's terrible.
I'd like to come.
Americans, I'm once again asking you to come.
I'm coming.
The cum is too damn high.
Fucking my buddy Zisty had a had an Alex Jones soundboard that he was blasting clips off of one time.
Uh-huh.
And I asked, "Do you have an Alex Jones soundboard that you're using?" And he pressed the button that makes him that makes Alex Jones go, "No,
no."
Yeah. And one extremely of the ones, good. One of the ones that he would hit all the time was, "I'm coming." Alex Jones in the news.
So yeah, what do you think about orgasm denial, my darling?
We've done some of it, and it's a little hot.
A little.
It's a little. Mostly, I just like to come when I want to come.
That's the thing with me too. Is that like, yeah. Like we get to the thing where I'm denied, and I'm like, well, fuck you too.
Well, let me come then. Come on.
I want.
It took me a while to work on this. Though.
What's wrong with you?
What's wrong with you?
Hey, who the fuck said you had to choose?
Orgasm denial. You fucking bitch.
It's so fun. I cannot do without the instant gratification. Like, yeah. No, I will. I do have to come before this night is over, or I will scream.
Before the night is over.
That's, I mean, if, I should be clear, if coming is what I'm going for.
Right.
So if you're going to, like, tease me with it, no. That can't work. I simply, as an autistic person, I simply need you to be straightforward with me. Do I come or not tonight, okay? I can do either, but I cannot do the ambiguity.
Right. I gotta know what I'm up to.
However, denying someone else is extremely fun.
I can imagine.
Holy shit.
They're just holy begging shit. And
having someone
and
just
scheming.
Fucking writhing, just like absolutely incapable of thinking about anything else, and you hold the key to them actually like escaping that is good. It's good stuff. Powerful.
Seems all right.
Can't stand it myself though. I'm too impatient.
Yeah.
Maybe if I was medicated.
Yeah. I like the Rosie and Elena one where she's doing denial on her for a while.
Oh my god.
And then makes her come like three times and then just whispers, "You have one more in you."
It's
like, oh!
I'm gay.
Gay as fuck.
Oh, incredible. My goodness.
Hey, let's do this now. Who's your digital champion?
It's such a dumb episode. Is someone worthy of champion?
I know mine. I know who my digital champion is.
Could be Bakuman.
Be Bakuman.
I do like Bakuman. He's adorable. He just wants to give you soup. He's like, what kind of soup do you want? Pork ramen? Spicy ramen?
Spicy ramen? Tonkatsu ramen?
Tofu ramen?
Tofu ramen. My pick is Mummymon, because he's so fucking on one this episode.
Okay.
He's so on one.
His vocal delivery is amazing this episode.
He's really killing the deliveries.
He continues to be a sex pervert.
Yeah, he's a perv.
Like, not a fun sex pervert. Like, no. Wake up and immediately try to French the woman who actively hates him.
Yeah.
Sex pervert.
Yeah, trying to, he's a walking HR violation, but he's my digital champion.
Yeah. Okay, fair enough.
Yeah.
I mean, you're allowed to have a problematic fave.
That's right. It's Mummy Mon from like season Emmett 2 of Digimon. Yeah, they do like Emmett, yeah.
They love him. They love him and his little gay snap.
They love his little gay snap, folks. They love his gay snap.
They love his gay snap. They remember us. This is going to be great. Like, new FF14 shit is out. People are thinking about it. These are going to land so good. I'm the funniest bitch in the universe. I'm actually really funny, actually.
You had such a beautiful look in your eye. There, just there. You were like,
Yeah, the triumph in my eyes.
Yeah, it's perfect. We should have some triumph in our eyes because we did it.
We did
an episode of Data Transfer. Carla, what are your plugs?
I do another little show called Post Ponies. It's a retrospective of My Little Pony, Friendship is Magic, and the Rise of American Fascism. We've been fucking yelling about it since, I mean, not since before it was happening, but since before it got real loud. And it's also a grand old time on top of that. We're just a bunch of horny, insane trans women. I'm dating most of them. It's me, Aki, Gigi, and Ruby. We have a grand old time going through the show. And you can find it anywhere you're listening to this or at smallgayhorse.com.
Smallgayhorse.com.
I love smallgayhorse.com.
Y'all know about Radio Free Tote Bag. So you've heard me plug it every other episode of the show that we've done. So I'm going to plug the DJ Holpick stream one more time. That's Tuesday nights, 10 to 11:30 p.m. at twitch.tv/DJ0PIX for slamming tunes. Tune in on Twitch and check out the music that I do. It's fun. It's a fun time. Good stream.
Got to do our shout outs now. Peace to Arcanimon Real, Kitty Sparks, Ember Saffron, Hex Meowniac, The Worst of All Possible Worlds, Asa/Anya, Saturday's Claire, This Penguin is a Constraction Cat, Jubilation Lee, Pablo Hummus, Mish, Waylon the Spritesmith, Maya, Teresa, Bubba Nitro, and Gigi Savage.
Yay.
And that's it. That's all that we have to do on this one.
It's a grand old time.
I'm going to take a fucking nap.
I'm going to take a big nap. It's going to be great. I'm going to wake up and I'm going to do more research about competitive Pokemon, which I did not talk about this episode. And you're lucky. is what I'll tell you. You're lucky because this episode
How's Sneasler doing in duos?
Sneasler continues to be like top of the cream of the crop, top of the top, along there with Incineroar.
Hell yeah.
Direclaw's busted, dog.
Direclaw's busted. Get out there and buy the Direclaw.
love you, folks.